This month, our theme is who we are in Christ. And so the scripture reading this morning, I've taken from the letter to Ephesus or to the Ephesians, where the writer, presumably Paul, speaks about being one in Christ. And he's talking to a group of people who were once outside of the faith and were brought in. And he says, we're all in one spirit now. So he says, so then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. A word from our Holy Scripture. So I want you to think for a moment about those in your family. In your whole family, your extended family, brothers, sisters, cousins, all of those you consider family. And I have a question for you, in fact, a few questions. Do you always agree with everyone in your family? Trust you, Michael. Trust you. How many of you get along with everyone in your family? Not bad. Extended family, everybody, that's good. How many of you always like everyone in your family? Yeah, they always. Sippy. How many of you can agree to disagree with those in your family and in the end still decide to love them? This was the early church, and this is still the church today. We don't always see eye to eye. We have different views on things and different ways of doing things, and we might disagree. Yet in the end, we are still called to love each other. Treat each other with respect, even when we disagree and need to speak out against something that we don't believe is right within the community of faith. We're not always nice. We do agree to love, which makes us in Christ a family. A worldwide family, in fact. We can go anywhere in the world and trust that when people meet together to worship, to eat, to pray, to sing, anywhere in the world where people follow Christ, we trust that they hold as central to their faith that they love and are following Jesus, even if we don't recognize it as our way of following Jesus. It also means that within the family of God, there are no boundaries or borders. We are God's family wherever we are. There are no African or South American or European or Chinese or Russian or American or Canadian Christians. We're just Christians seeking to follow Jesus and to be disciples of Christ. God does not define us by our race, our nationality, or anything by which we choose to identify ourselves. God only cares about our hearts. We are each called in our own way to serve the world, using our gifts to bring about the reign of God in the world. Most of us do it where we're planted, in our own homes, and others are called to use their gifts to go elsewhere. This past summer, Maya Povey was drawn to the Dominican Republic, to the community of La Vega, and a couple of barrios to go and teach children and to learn Spanish, improve her Spanish. She just got back this past Tuesday, actually, and agreed to come and tell us a little bit about her experience before she leaves again in about a week or so. So she is going to come and share a bit of her experience with us, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what her plans are going forward. Maya.
Thank you, Julia. So I'm just going to share a little bit about my experience in the Dominican Republic these last 5 months. I was working for TIRS, which is our partner organization, our partner church in the Dominican Republic, and we've had representatives come and visit us before, and we've sent out teams pretty consistently in the past. And I ended up there because I'd been down on one of Gary's teams in 2016, and when it came time to do a gap year in high school, I decided that it was somewhere where I was interested in living and somewhere where I could definitely improve my Spanish and just an overall very welcoming and safe environment. So I worked in the barrios of Juan Bosch and Maria Auxiliadora, and I taught English from kindergarten to grade 3 every day, and the kids were wonderful. They were crazy at times, very hard to control at times, but the smiles at the end and walking into the classroom in month 4 and month 5 and being greeted with a, "Good morning, Maya, how are you?" was really made it all worth it in hindsight. And so as we're talking about kind of our messy house theme and just what the church looks like around the world, I thought I would just share some things that I learned from experience and from listening in the church in the Dominican Republic there. So with TIRS, as we've been supporting them and many other churches across Canada and the United States have been supporting the TIRS organization over the years, the community has really grown and it's really flourished, and they're doing amazing things there, providing education and water, and the community has really gone from a point where it was in a very bad place and most children were living on the streets, and we've now seen a transition where over the last 20 years the majority are educated. We have a high school and an elementary school for them, and they're getting to a very interesting transitional point in their church now where they have everyone busy and everyone living a normal, flowing life that us North Americans have kind of seen in our churches in the past as well, where church can't look the same as it used to because they don't have the same societal dynamic that they used to have. So people are getting busier and people have other places to be than church, and they're kind of looking to modernize. I don't know if that's the right word, but they're looking for interesting, new, and unique ways to bring people into church and work for the community's needs in terms of providing spiritual wellness to everyone. So they're starting to provide Bible studies at all times of the day, and their services as well they're just looking for new and creative ways to go about doing the traditional church setting that has worked for them for so long. The teams that come down really help out their church as well. I just thought I'd mention that. If any of you have ever been down on a mission team, every single year when the mission teams come down, their church is always full. because the relationships that the teams have built, especially the couple of people who go back continuously, everybody from the school and the community really pack up the church when the teams are there. But unfortunately, they're struggling to keep those churches as full as they are when teams are there after the teams leave. So these are just a couple of their interesting and unique solutions to the challenges that they're facing. Last week, they decided to try a talent show in the barrio. So they're offering $200 US to the winner of this talent show, which is a lot of money for down there, and you can do a lot with that. And so it was for youth 15 to 25. And I was there right before I left. They had their first tryout. And there were some phenomenal singers and dancers in the barrio. I was super impressed. It was just somebody's idea, and they were like, you know what, why not try it? So they started that, and then they had their second tryout here last Saturday. And I've heard that was an even more overwhelming success. And so they do the tryout, and then they did some Bible talks afterwards. And now they're having their grand talent show next Saturday, and I can't wait to see who ends up winning that. But that's just an interesting and unique way that they've managed to bring God through this talent show into the lives of the youth in the community. And then just how they go about their services and their youth camps as well was interesting, just a little bit different from us, but like Julia said, we're all Christians and we all fall under that same family, even if we do things a little bit differently. They like to sing and pray for very, very long periods of time. So I was in a summer camp. I got the chance to do that closer to the beginning, and I couldn't understand much Spanish at the time. But I know when we do youth camps, we usually do some sports, and then we'll do a Bible talk, and we'll do some singing. But what we did for our camp was it was 4 days, and we did talks and singing 12 hours a day for the whole 4 days straight. And when you can't understand much Spanish, I was just sitting there nodding the whole time. But it's very interesting just how they go about practicing their faith. And then, yeah, just as well, in church, their services are typically 3 hours, give or take. And so they'll do singing for the first hour, and then they'll do, somebody from the congregation will usually come up and do some sort of testimonial, and then the pastor will talk. And so total, it'll last typically about 3 hours. And it's just interesting that they only sing at the beginning and then they never sing after that. I just thought I would bring that in because it's just some interesting things that people doing worship differently, but it all being worship all the same. Yes, so that was just kind of a little taste of my experience in the Dominican Republic. Thank you all.
Thanks, Maya. I asked this before, so she knows what's coming, but can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
How old are you?
18.
Okay. So I wanted to ask Maya, first of all, where did you live down there?
We lived in the Tears Volunteer Center, so it was nice because it was a great way to start out living alone. Because I could lock my room if I wanted my privacy or if I had to work. But if I was feeling a little bit lonely and I wanted to go visit someone, there were 5 families on property. And I could just pop into any of their houses at any time.
So did it feel like community? Did it feel like family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So that's Christian family. What does TEARS stand for, actually?
True evangelism always requires sacrifice.
True evangelism always requires sacrifice, yeah. So I wanted to ask Maya, just so you know, because she's taking off again. When do you leave?
In about a week.
Yeah, just over a week. Okay, and where are you going?
To Europe.
Where in Europe?
So I'll be in Prague first, taking a course to get my official certification for teaching English as a second language, now that I have all this experience behind me. And then I'm going to be in Germany for a couple months doing a business internship. And then
at an opera house.
At an opera house, yeah. I'll be helping them with marketing and translation. And then I'm going to do. I have to be at the Rotary International Convention in Hawaii. So
after a little detour through Switzerland, right?
After a little detour through Switzerland. So I decided instead of flying all the way from Europe to Hawaii, because they're on opposite ends of the globe, my friend and I are doing a couple of stops in between. So I'll be stopping in a couple of places like Sydney and Vietnam on the way there back. And then I'll be traveling around Europe in the summer, and then I have to be at another convention in Brazil before I come back home and then go to university. So.
Wow. I'm trying to count the continents. I think you've hit four. No African detour?
Probably not.
Not yet. Not yet. And then what's happening in the fall?
And then in the fall, I'll be in an international business program, probably in Toronto.
So she's heading out, and we won't see too much of her between now and who knows when, right? But let's thank Maya and wish her the best and her travels. Thank you. As Christians, wherever we go, we are one body. We are all the family of God, even though we express it in different ways. We do not stand alone in this world. And so we need to work hard to allow other expressions of Christianity to reveal themselves to us and endeavor to bridge our differences wherever we go. We love each other, even when we don't agree with each other. And because we need Jesus followers to be our home wherever we go. Maya is off, of course, to university this fall, and we may see her around here when she's here on occasion, even while she branches out and travels the world. But what I want to say is we can be sure of this, that her spiritual DNA from this community will go wherever she goes, because this community has nurtured her. And cared for her over the years. And she, in turn, has done the same for us. She has blessed us. And this is what family does. We come together and we share with each other. And this, I want to say, is why it's important to recognize that we are a family. Because we pray that wherever Maya goes, she will find that kind of community, that kind of family. Those who will continue to love and support her because they follow Jesus. And we will continue to build a family where whoever comes into our community, we can nourish and nurture as well. That's why it's important to be here as followers of Christ and to care for each other and build up the church. Because we are one in Christ. We are a family, and family looks after each other. This community makes us strong so that we can go out into the world and share the good news that Jesus is alive today and still at work in the world through those who are a part of the family of God. It's important that our young people have that nurturing. It's important that each of us have that nurturing so that they are stronger to be in the world. And that's why it's important. The church is important, and that's why we're a family. We are going to come together around the table in just a moment where we are reminded